the Lord for the opportunity to be here and share my burden and my call from me and my family to go to the country of Ghana in West Africa. Before I get into it, I'd like to sing with my boys. Come here, boys. Is any of these on? I thank God for my family, for what he's done for me. And my wife's not in here. She's back in the nursery with my other three children. But my name is Brother John Launderville. It's my oldest son, John Jr., my son, Carl, and my wife's name is Carrie. My daughter's names are Melinda and Paula, and my youngest son is named Samuel. But I thank God for what he's done for me. I got saved at the age of 6 years old, raised in a Christian home. And God called me to preach when I was 15 years old, and I thank God for that. It's a great privilege to be able to say that God allowed me to be raised in a Christian home and to hear the Word of God at such a young age. And so many people never get that opportunity. And when I think back on all that God has done for me and all that God has allowed me to take part in, I can't help but say how good God has been. We like to sing this song, God's Been Good. Lately I've been looking back, a long life's winding road, to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. And though it may sound simple, it's more than a cliche. There's no other words to tell you but to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I'd trade one if I could. 'Cause through it all, on, and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. I've had more days and losses, and I've had more joy than hurt, as his grace pours down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade one if I could. 'Cause through it all, God has been my Father, he's been my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he's been. But the best way I can say it is like this. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade one if I could. 'Cause through it all, I'll do my video presentation, and then we'll get into the Word of God.
The country of Ghana, located in West Africa, sits between the neighboring countries of the Ivory Coast on the west, Togo on the east, and Burkina Faso on the north. Ghana has been blessed with a variety of beautiful landscapes, from its coastline on the Gulf of Guinea to the jungles of the western region and grasslands of the north. Ghana is known for its many castles, fishing villages, good roads, safe drivers, a modern transportation system, local supermarkets, and certified auto mechanics. It's also known for the ability to do all your shopping from your car window. Ghana has been blessed with many natural resources and rich soil for agriculture. Ghana is the 7th largest producer of gold in the world. It is also a large producer of cocoa, rubber, and palm nut oil. Ghana has a population of 28 million people. This population is made up by small remote villages with just a few people, to the large cities like the capital of Accra that has a population of 2.25 million. Although Ghana has developed some, the signs of a third world country are still widespread. The sights of garbage-filled rivers, extreme poverty, sick and starving children are still common there. Ghana is considered to be one of the most religious countries in the world, yet it is full of spiritual confusion. 71% of Ghana claims to be Christian. Of that 71%, 28% are Pentecostal charismatic. 18.4% are Protestant. 13% are Catholic. 11.4% includes the Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, and many other cults. Out of the total population, Islam is represented by 17.6%. Contrary to the reports of a great revival, Satan is on the move in Ghana. The combination of juju, also known as voodoo, and the modern unbound charismatic movement have brought about a great manifestation of demonic power and spiritual confusion. Millions in Ghana have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Millions in Ghana are confused, thinking that works will get them to heaven. Who will go and tell them of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life? We are the Launderville family, and God has called us to carry the gospel to Ghana, West Africa. We have been sent out by the Faith Baptist Church in Waverly, Virginia. Our pastor is Lewis Lawson. We have partnered with Prayer Baptist Missions International to help us get to the field the Lord has called us to.
My name is John Launderville. I received Christ at the age of 6 years old while attending the Good News Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I remember the Word of God being preached, and I come under Holy Ghost conviction. And I looked over to my dad and I said, that I wanted to receive Christ as my Savior.
My dad took me to the prayer room at the front of the church, and there led me to the Lord, and I prayed and asked Christ to come into my heart and save me. I was called to preach under the ministry of Al Day at the Bible Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, at the age of 15. I met my wife, Carrie, at her home church, and we got married in 2008. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." Jesus also said in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." After taking my first mission trip to Ghana in November of 2015, God began to place a burden upon my heart for the people of Ghana. I took a second trip in July of 2016, and God made it very clear that He was calling me and my family to go as missionaries to Ghana. The Lord has laid upon our heart the western region, and specifically the Tarkwa district, an area with a population of 121,000 people. Our foremost goal is to evangelize the western region of Ghana, establish new converts through discipleship, teaching, and preaching of the Word of God, plant independent Baptist churches in the western region, start a Bible Institute to train nationals, and turn each church started over to a national pastor. In Acts chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Will you please pray for the Launderville family as we endeavor to carry the gospel to the lost millions of Ghana?
I would say that my burden when I went the first time was, I've never been in a third world country before, and you know, poverty and all that stuff shocks you. But to describe Ghana, if you saw that worship service, they want to call it worship service, you try to imagine a small village, just one small village, about 1,500 people in it, and five of those charismatic works. And I was telling the pastor that they have more religious freedom than we do. They have so much religious freedom there. The government doesn't resist them at all on anything religious. They don't tax anything. They don't have sound ordinances or nothing. And you figure about five of those works, those charismatic works with big, massive sound systems, in 4 or 5 nights a week, late into the night, they've got those things cranked up, and you can hear them for miles around as they're fighting each other, trying to outflesh one another with their charismatic things, such as casting out demons and speaking what they call speaking in tongues, which is a guttural sound, and they get all worked up under a rhythm, and they get all moving like that, and then they'll start doing some mess that you've never heard. And he's talking about demonic, totally demonic, and they come down to the end of it, and they'll do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Or they'll come down to the end and go, "Holy Ghost fire," or something like that. It's stuff they used to do in the jungles, known as the voodoo. We would call it black magic, and they call it juju. They used to do it in the jungles, and then some person under the influence of the devil went over there and said, "You know what, you're just worshiping God. Why don't you do that in the name of Jesus?" Talking about stir you up, but I tell you, never felt such demonic influence in my life. I've never been exposed to it. No, here religion has become something that we just put on and take off. They embrace it completely. They embrace it totally. False religion, all different versions of it, of religion. You know, the main thing that they have is work salvation. And you know, when a missionary or so, someone who comes from over in pretty much anywhere in Africa would say, but especially in Ghana, if they say, "You know what, I led hundreds of people to Christ or thousands of people to Christ," and they say, and you ask them, "Well, how'd you do that?" And they say, "Well, I asked if anyone wanted to receive Christ, raise your hand." You can't do that in Ghana. You can't do that. Most of Africa, you cannot do that, because they're just going to take, "Oh, yes, I want to be saved." They don't even know. They don't understand. And they just add it to their works, to what they've been taught as children, keep the commandments. And they just add it to their idea of how to get out of poverty. Some of the richest people in Ghana are the leaders of the so-called flock. The largest church there is in the capital of Accra. And I think, and if I remember correctly, it's the largest church in the world. It's 30,000 people show up every Sunday. They have to have 3 10,000 people meetings. The second largest church is in the city of Kumasi. It's about 18,000 people show up every Sunday seeking for a way out of their poverty, out of their bondage. They have something called prayer camps. And Nigeria has a little bit of it, but Ghana is known for this. And these things are so bad off that they've made the world news for civil rights violations. There's people in desperate problems, desperate physical problems. Some of them may be demon-possessed. Some of them just have things like diseases and cancers and things that they can't get doctors to help them with. And so they go to these prayer camps and they all say, you know, and they'll chain them up and say, you need to go on some type of diet or fast. And they'll say, you just got to fast and have a bunch of faith. And they chain these people up. And a bunch of people come together and it's a bunch of demonic filth. In the name of Jesus. That was my burden when I went to Ghana both times. And I was thinking of the verse that describes that in Acts chapter 17, verse 16. It says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. That's exactly what I had when I went. Wholly given to idolatry. And that so stirred me. And I went back the second time in 2016. And I've seen churches, and I'm talking about like a even the Presbyterians are doing the same thing. Even the what we would say here, we would think of a Presbyterian, we think of Calvinism, we think of dead, dried up Calvinism. They don't believe God can do anything. I can take you to a Presbyterian church in the city of Takoradi that started out with this little building. I saw just a shell of it. I went back in 1 year. This huge multi-level building has a roof and walls on it in 1 year. They've been doing the dance show. They don't even know what Calvinism, not Calvinism to me, heresy. They don't even know what that is. But the thing is this. It's Jesus Christ has not been heard. And at one time, there was many missionaries in the country of Ghana back in the 1960s, 1970s. There was a lot of missionaries there at one time. But since then, it's gone to where there's very few left in the country. And most of them have never heard the gospel. Most of them never heard the gospel. A lot of Western influence, a lot of things that Ghana has changed, and we see the devil at work. It's not just here in this country, it's everywhere. And so we go. It's hard there in Ghana. It's hard in Ghana. Ghana's not a place that, you know, the last missionary I know who was able to establish a church, it took him 12 years to establish that church before he could turn it over. You're not going to start a church in every 4 years. You're going to have to work hard and hard. And I know a couple of missionaries there, and they tell me that they get some coming to church, and they're working hard with them. The devil comes along, and they're gone. The devil does not want us on his territory. We find that in our own country. The devil has got territory he will not let. He does not want us to take. But by the grace of God, we're going to preach the word of God. And I was thinking about what God wanted me to preach, and I believe God has settled this